Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. This, of course, is the first of the letters to the seven churches in Asia, which is now Turkey, which is Ephesus, of course. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. The Lord says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. And thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted." Then we get to verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you for today. Lord, love is a thing that I think sometimes the wisest man on the earth really doesn't completely understand. But we know that you said that you love us with an everlasting love, and you've called upon us to love you with all our heart and our soul and our mind, and love our neighbors ourselves. And so as we look at this letter to the church at Ephesus today, we pray that you'd help us to understand why you wrote to them and the needs and concerns there. And Lord, that we would each would make application to our own hearts, and Lord, we'd also make application to our own church. Ask you to bless our time together now in Jesus' name. Amen. I always like to consider chronologies. When things happen, because when things happened is important. John, under the inspiration of God, wrote the book of the Revelation about 96 A.D. About 96 A.D. That's 60-some years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. A lot of things have happened in those 60-some years. He wrote these letters to the churches, and of course there are seven churches, and we won't go through all that, but I want you to consider, as he wrote to the seven churches, it's pretty easy for us to step back and say, well, yep, the church at Ephesus had problems. Now the church at Laodicea, they really had problems. But that is the first practical application of the letters to the churches. But we find that, I believe there are several other applications we need to make. I think the letters apply to seven literal churches that were there in 96 AD in Asia Minor or Turkey. But I think the letters also refer to seven church ages. If we look down through time from that first 100 years down to our modern time, we can see, and many church historians lay out, that churches have gone through ages, and we can see those laid out in the seven churches. But also that these could apply to seven churches in any age. You know, we travel across Canada, and I was just looking, I've got a directory of about 300 independent Baptist churches across Canada, and I praise the Lord for that. But, you know, as you look across churches across Canada, even if we just narrow down to independent Baptist churches, there's some churches that are maybe an Ephesus church, a Philadelphia church, there may be some that are a Laodicean church. Churches in different, but also, these letters can refer to seven different kinds of people in any church. Often we, I don't want to use brag as the right word, but, well, my church is doing this, and my church is doing this, and my church is doing this. But what are we doing? Paul wrote 64 AD, some 32 years before this, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He had some concerns. He wrote about the ministry, and he sent Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. Let me just go on to verse 3 for the sake of time. Tells Timothy, he says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge them that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do." Now, why did Paul write to Timothy and tell Timothy, "I want you to stay in Ephesus. There's some things. I want you to charge them that they don't teach any other doctrine. I want you to tell them, be careful about fables and endless genealogies. I want you to focus on..." Why did he write and tell Timothy to do that? Because there was a problem in the church of Ephesus about doctrine, fables, genealogies. There were problems. He wouldn't have written to Timothy and said, "Timothy, I want you to stay in Ephesus and deal with these problems," if there's not a problem. Before that, Paul in 61 AD, that's 3 years before that, he wrote to the church. He wrote the book of Ephesians. He wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he wrote, and if we look at the whole of the book of Ephesus, we're not going to do a whole study of that. But the book of Ephesus, he focuses on the body of Christ, the church, the local church. He talks about blessings on the members of the body, prayer. Christ is the head of the body. Members are fitted into the body. The Gentiles have a place in the body. The unity of the body, the edifying of the body, duties of the members of the body. So he wrote quite a bit to them. And again, he wrote to the church at Ephesus to encourage them, certainly, but he wanted to keep their focus and their direction right. Paul began his missionary journeys about 45 AD. This is about 15 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he, about 6 years after that, about 51 AD, Paul came to Ephesus. As he came there, he, in Acts chapter 18, verse 19, it says he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with him, he consented not. It was a short visit by Paul to the church at Ephesus. As the church was started, he went into the synagogue, as was his habit to do, because he was recognized. He was a student of Gamaliel, one of the greatest of the teachers of the day. He was one that could get an audience, because everybody knew Paul, or Saul of Tarsus. Everybody knew who he was in the Jewish community. And so he could go in. And of course he went in and he preached that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophets. He went in and preached Christ. He'd met him on the road to Damascus and trusted him as his personal savior. Was called to ministry, went out on his trips. He had one other contact with them during the end of his last missionary journey. When he was going back to Jerusalem, he stopped at Miletus, which was not far from Ephesus. And he met with the elders of Ephesus there at Miletus and warned them about some things and encouraged them about some things and told them, sadly, he's probably not going back that way again. And so this brings us to Revelation chapter 2. This in our scriptures is the next contact we have with this church. And God in his wisdom chose to be this the first of the seven churches to write to. Now, I'm not sure why he did that. I'm sure somebody studied it all out and have come some reason, excuse for that. But I'm not sure why he chose Ephesus first. Philadelphia was probably the only church in the letters that there's no condemnation, there's no concern about the church at Philadelphia. So maybe in our thought that would have been first and Laodicea last. I don't know. But we see that this message, this letter, in verse 1, really we see the sender and the recipient in this first verse. Let me read that verse again. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus. Now, who's the angel of the church at Ephesus? Go back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 20. It says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the churches, angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are seven churches. Now, we have to be careful of this word angel, because oftentimes we think of angel only as a celestial being. But here, angel, it's the very basic meaning of angel, and the word angelos, which is angel, basically means messenger. Most times in the Bible we see angels, we see them as messengers. The messenger to the churches. Who was the messenger to the church at Ephesus, or Philadelphia, or Laodicea, or Smyrna? Who is the angel? It's the pastor. You didn't know you had an angel in the midst, did you? I tried to fly once, didn't work. Guess my wings have to grow a little bit. But he's writing this, he's addressing this to the pastor of the church. Now, in Ephesus, probably, they did not have large assembly buildings, and we see the elders that met at Miletus with Paul. There were a number of pastors, probably because there were several meeting places all around the church, all around the city of Ephesus, where Christians met at the time. Doesn't mean that there was a plurality of elders in one church or pastors. But he writes to the pastor. He says, pastor, I have some concerns. And then he says the seven stars are the angels and the seven candlesticks are the churches. And Christ says here in that he wrote Jesus to the pastor of the church and in turn through the pastor to the church. But then look at the next part of verse 1. These things saith he, notice what it says, who holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars refer to the seven stars or angels refer to the pastors. The seven candlesticks refer to the churches. But who's the one? Go back again to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. John says, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as the trumpet saying, this is of course Christ speaking, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in the book and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Of course, those candlesticks refer to the churches. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed a garment down to the foot, and girded about his paps with a golden girdle, his head, and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. We'll stop there in verse 17. It was Jesus Christ himself. This was not something that John on the Isle of Patmos there, as he was there and he'd been all kinds of terrible things that happened to him there, that he decided, well, I better write to these churches and straighten them out. That wasn't the case at all. He says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and God brought to him a vision, and he was taken up to heaven. And Jesus Christ himself, as we see described here, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Jesus Christ himself gives him the message to the seven churches. You know, if I stood up here this morning and I said, I have a message for you, you ought to pack up and go home. Because just because I have a message for you, it doesn't have much value. But when the Lord, the Word of God, has a message for us, that's something else, isn't it? Here, John says, I was in the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord gave me a message. It's a short one, only 7 verses there. I have a message for you, church at Ephesus. Jesus Christ himself wrote it. You know, I from time to time have received correspondence from government officials. And it's very easy to tell when you get a letter if the name is print, if the signature is printed on it, or even if it's an auto pen that writes the name. You can tell it. And somebody sends me a letter, and I sent a letter one time to the Prime Minister, and they got it back. Thank you for your letter in support of the Prime Minister. I don't think they even read my letter that I sent to him. But you know, I wrote a letter, and I showed Reggie the letter to the Chief of Defense Staff and told him we were praying for him. Nice type letter. I could tell from his letter that he'd actually read the letter that I wrote to him. He not only signed the letter, but he wrote a note on the letter. I keep that letter. It's in my desk. It's valuable to me. Because he cared enough to write it personally. Now, he probably had somebody else type it. I don't mean that. But it was personal. We have to understand the Word of God and these letters that are written to the churches are personal for us. Christ commends the church in verses 2 and 3. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear those which are evil, and thou hast tried them, say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored and not fainted. He commends the church. You know, almost every church, I've visited a lot of churches. One time I counted up how many different churches I preached in across Canada. But almost every church, there's something in that church to commend. Almost every individual, Christian I mean, there's something in their life to commend. We tend to sometimes... We focus you can't even see it, can you? See the little black dot? We see something and all we can see is the little black dot instead of the big white page. By the way, if this was our life, there'd probably be a lot of black dots on it. So Christ said, you know, I have some things to commend you for. I have things to commend you for. First of all, notice he said, I know. I know. Do you ever wonder if anybody knows or cares? Your life. Maybe sacrifices you make. Maybe choices you make because they know you're right, but they'll cost you something. Nobody seems to know or care. But Jesus says, I know. Jesus, of course, and we'll spend time looking at the attributes of God. Jesus said, I look down from heaven. I can see not only the church, the individuals that assemble together, but I can see the life of each individual, and not only that, I can see into the heart and mind of each individual. He said, I know.
I know. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were telling me about something going on. And I started to say, I understand. And I stopped myself. And I got those words out, and I stopped and said, no, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I've never gone through that. I've never had somebody that close to me has gone through something. So I don't understand. But I will pray for you. But Jesus not only knows, but he understands. He was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. He understands about sin because he paid for all of our sins on the cross. He understands about suffering because he suffered on the cross. He understands about the life we live. And even though that we're living almost 2,000 years away and the technology and everything today is so different, you know what? People are not different today than they were in the time of Christ. People are the same. Jesus knows. There's a song we sing, Does Jesus Care? Does Jesus care? Yes, he does. He knows what's going on in your life, and he cares. What did he know about? First of all, he knew about their steadfastness and labor and patience. He says, I want to commend you for that. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of steadfast. We can change that a little bit. Stuck fast. You ever been stuck fast? You've been off in a bog? You got in the bog and you were stuck fast in the bog? We lived down in Marystown. Joshua came down. He's probably 12 years old at the time. Behind our house was a bog. And I don't know if there was a ball back there. So he went back to get it. And he was stuck fast in the bog. His shoes are still there. Because to get out of the bog, he had to leave them. Stuck fast. I like people that are stuck fast. Steadfast. Unmovable. People that God can count on day by day, week by week, month by month. I like people that God can count on that when the church doors are open, they're in church in their place. I like people that God can count on that when there's a need, they're praying and bringing those requests before him. I like people that God can count on their testimony in the workplace, in their family, in the community. He says, I know your steadfastness, your labor and patience. But he also commended them for their separation, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Their separation. Christ said, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Separation. Scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed? There's some things we need to separate ourselves from. And we can think of the obvious sins that we need to separate ourselves from. But as well, we see who they say to separate themselves from. Not only those that are evil, but the imposters, which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. So a lot of people going around in that day saying they were apostles of Christ, that just like Paul's an apostle and John's an apostle and these others, that I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, that I have that, you know, but they're not. He says, separate yourselves from them. He said, you've done that. He said, not only do you have steadfastness and separation, but he commends their labors. Look at the end of verse 3. For my sake hast labored and hast not fainted. He commends them for their labor. Labor is an interesting word. It's not just going out and getting something done. Labor is working. Working, if you will, to the point of exhaustion. Working to where you feel you just really can't do much more, laboring, expending yourself, expending your heart, your mind, your will, your strength to accomplish something,
has labored and not fainted. You ever fainted?
I have, just a couple of times I remember I fainted. One time I was in the doctor's office when I was, I don't know, 14 or 15, had an ingrown toenail on my big toe.
If you've never had that, you don't understand.
My doctor was an old country doctor. He had a good cure for that. He said, "Sit down here, Lynn." I sat down there on the little doctor's bench thing, and he's sitting in the chair in front of me. And he says, he grabbed my foot, he grabbed my toe, and he grabbed something and stuck it under my toenail and pried it up and started stuffing cotton under my toe. He stuffed my water about that big. He stuffed under my toenail. And I felt like that. And he said, "Okay, you'll be fine now." And my mom was a good friend of the doctor, all the staff there. She eventually worked at the office there. And so she walked in the office, to his office, and they were talking away, and I walked in behind her, and the next thing I know, the doctor's saying, "Lynn, Lynn, you all right? Lynn, sit down." And I did. I didn't sit down. I just melted right there. Passed right out. Why? Because there was something that was more than I could bear. My mind said, "That's it. I'm shutting down." But he said, "You've labored and not fainted."
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Maybe you ought to do a study about fainting in the Bible. It speaks a lot about it. I thought I was going to faint down in St. Lucia just walking around in the heat when I was down there. It was, I never felt anything like it. "For my name's sake hast thou labored." Not labored to accomplish some specific purpose here on this earth. Not labored just so that we could gain some finances while it's good to go to work and be investment and be profitable for your employer. But for my name's sake. When's the last time we labored to accomplish something just for the Lord? Not so that everybody would notice us. Not even so they would notice the church. But just for the Lord. For my name's sake. I believe our ministry should be through the local church, certainly. But labored for my name's sake. Why do we do what we do? Why do we labor for which we labor? Why do we work for the things we work for? Here the Lord tells the church at Ephesus, "I want to commend you. I want to commend you because, you know what? I've seen you're doing some good things. Let me just flip over and see, we're not going to get to very far. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes to the church, a good church at Thessalonica. I want you to see a contrast here. He writes to the church at Ephesus. He says, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience." Notice the big difference in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. "Remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope." What was the big difference now between the church at Ephesus and the church at Thessalonica? Not what they did, but the motivation for what they did. Tonight I'm going to continue on with this and get down to verse 4. But I want you to consider that this afternoon. I know you'll be back tonight.
The difference between doing something and the reason we do something. The Lord said, I know their works. I know. And I commend you for those. Then we come to verse 4. But nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?